Sam. Use in sentence. Me. My father knows the meaning of the word sacrifice. Sam. Yep. So when Sam got home, I told her about the conversation I'd had with my father. She listened, asked questions. She loved asking questions. And of course, she had a few things to say about the whole situation. That shit Marcos broke your father's heart. I knew there was a reason I hated him. He didn't do anything to you, Sam. It's not your place to hate him. That's bullshit. No, it isn't. Dad doesn't hate him, and if Dad doesn't hate him, I won't hate him. God, I could be such a hypocrite. Sam looked at me. You know, you and your dad, not normal. Sometimes not normal is no bueno. Why do you guys always walk around being so nice? I mean, it just isn't normal. She kept shaking her head. And it's not fair. Marcos gets away with being a shit. What do we know about Marcos, Sammy? We know he's a worm who came crawling back to the surface after the rain. Sam, she was always good for a laugh. Don't laugh. It was not a joke. Maybe he realized he was wrong. Sally, do you always have to interpret reality with the naivete of a 10-year-old? Really? Sammy, I don't know a damn thing about reality, and I'm not a 10-year-old. So is Marcos gonna be hanging around, stinking up the place? I don't know why, but I laughed again. Sam kept yelling at me, which made me laugh even harder. But really, I felt the same way she did. Only she was honest about it. Cake. It was a Saturday evening, and I was hanging out in my room, thinking about that college thing again, and that I didn't really want to go. I mean, I did want to go, but only after taking a year off. You know, to find myself. Well, that was lame. But it was true. Was there such a thing as being a little lost? I mean, if you were lost, well, then you were lost. I didn't know shit. I was going through the motions. Maybe a lot of people just went through the motions. Maybe that worked for some people. But I knew that the going through the motions thing wasn't going to work for me. No bueno. Sam was in her room working on her admissions essay. I didn't have to wonder what she was going to say because I knew she'd make me read it. And she'd want to read mine. And I didn't have one to read. What was I supposed to say? Take me. You won't be sorry. I'm the greatest thing since the invention of the cell phone. We were supposed to talk about ourselves. Yeah. Hello. They call me Mr. Excitement. But I am pretty good in a fight. Sam texted me. Have a good idea for my essay. You? Me. No ideas. Not good at selling myself. Sam. I'll help you. Me. I'm worthless. Sam. You are not. Don't ever say that. Me. I thought you were mad at me. Sam. Nope. We should bake a cake. Me. What? Sam. You know, a cake. Me. You know how? Sam. No, but you do. Me. Where is the we? Sam. Teach me. We can take it to Mima tomorrow. Me. Good idea. Sam. And we can take her flowers. Me. The evil Sam went away? Sam. No worries. She'll come back. Me, Saturday night. Sam. We were in the kitchen, and I was teaching Sam how to make a chocolate cake from scratch.
"Why not just bake from one of those Betty Crocker boxes?" she said.
"I'm impressed. You know about Betty Crocker."
"Go ahead, mock me."
We gave each other looks.
Yep, we were all about giving each other looks.
"See, Sammy, we have all the ingredients. It's not that hard." She was watching me put in the dry ingredients as she read them aloud from the recipe book.
"You want to know what each ingredient does?" I asked.
"You're really asking me that question?"
"How are you ever going to learn to cook if you don't know what each ingredient does for the recipe?"
"The physics of chocolate cake?"
"Not interested."
"Now who's mocking whom?"
She watched me as I broke two eggs and beat them.
"Guess it doesn't look that hard. Still, Betty Crocker's easier."
"We're not going for easy. We're going for taste."
"Whatever."
"It was your idea," I said. "You said you wanted to learn."
I lied.
"Yep." When the cake was in the oven, Sam watched as I made the frosting.
"You're not like most guys."
"Thank you, I think."
"What makes you so sure it was a compliment?"
"I don't want to be like most guys, so it was a compliment." Maggie sat there and watched us as we played verbal volleyball. I always wondered what that dog was thinking. Probably nothing complicated. Dad walked in from the backyard where he'd been working on a painting.
"What's with the cake?"
"We're making it for Mima."
"That's sweet." Sam smiled.
"Well, we're very sweet young people."
She couldn't leave out that little teaspoon of sarcasm, part of her recipe for living. Dad grinned.
"I'm going to clean up. I'm going out tonight."
Sam couldn't help herself.
"Going out with anyone we know?"
"Just a movie with an old friend."
It's not as if we were surprised when the doorbell rang and it was Marcos. I had never noticed how handsome he was. Still, he wasn't as handsome as my dad. And he was shorter. I wondered if most kids noticed their parents and how they looked. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I hadn't exactly taken a poll. Dad seemed a little embarrassed by the whole situation. Sammy didn't help him out one damn bit.
"Text if you're going to be out late."
Marcos just shrugged and grinned at her. Dad couldn't get out the door fast enough.
"I don't care if he is cute. If he hurts your dad, I'll kill him."
"Are we going to start that again?"
"How come you don't care?"
"I do care. I learned something about my dad today. Something very beautiful. You know that game, What If?" "Well, Sam, what if my dad hadn't adopted me?"
"I don't know, Sally. I don't have an answer to that one."
"Not," I said. "Not, not, not."
"Enough with the knots already, basta."
"I don't know what would have happened to me if my dad hadn't adopted me. But I do know I wouldn't have this life. And it's the only life I know. I wouldn't have Mima, who is the greatest grandmother in the fucking world."
"Did you just use the F word?"
"Sarcasm looks really good on you, you know that?"
"Couldn't help myself."
"I know, I know. But Sammy, if it weren't for my dad, I wouldn't know you. You wouldn't be my best friend. You wouldn't be living here. You know, I asked my dad once if he believed in God. You know what he said?"
"Tell me."
"He said, every time I look into your blue eyes, every time I hear you laugh, every day when I hear your voice, I thank God for you. Yeah, Salvador. I believe in God." Sam leaned over and kissed me on the cheek.
You're the luckiest boy in the world.
I nodded.
You bet your ass.
Yeah, I was the luckiest boy in the world.
But I was still a boy. Shit.
Sam and I were sitting at the kitchen table admiring the chocolate cake we'd baked.
Who knew?
Sam said.
Chocolate cream cheese frosting.
She was really happy.
Who knew that teaching a girl how to bake a cake could make her happy?
Did the girl learn?
I took notes. She tapped her temple. Up here. And it's really beautiful.
It's all about the aesthetics.
You love that word.
My dad's an artist.
Right then. For whatever reason, I got this not-so-great idea to have a glass of wine. So we sat at the kitchen table and opened up a bottle of red. I poured us each a glass. We toasted our cake. I swear I don't know what got into us. Pretty soon we were having a second glass.
You think your dad will get mad?
I said. It's not as if he's going to kill us. We both shrugged and kept drinking. The thing is, I didn't want to stop. I wanted to know what it felt like to be drunk. You want me to explain this with logic? Well, where was the logic to loving? Where was the logic to dying in accidents? Where was the logic to cancer? Where was the logic to living? I was starting to believe that the human heart had an inexplicable logic. But I was also starting to get drunk, so I wasn't trusting anything I was thinking. As I opened up a second bottle, Sam and I looked at each other with a kind of what-the-hell thing on our faces.
Did you know I used to think that every person was like a book? I said.
Sam laughed. Boy, you are a talker when you drink.
I can shut up.
I poured us another glass of wine.
No, don't. Just talk.
You do know that I do most of the talking in this little mutual admiration society of ours?
Yeah, I guess so.
You do know what that means, don't you?
It means you like to talk more than I do.
You're an idiot. It means you know me better than I know you.
You know me.
Sam looked at me. I wasn't going to argue with her. Not because I wouldn't win the argument, but because I knew she was right.
I'll try and do better.
She smiled.
So, everyone's like a book, huh?
Yeah, I used to think that. But it's crap. People aren't like books. They're not like books at all. Books make sense. People don't. You know, like life. All these things happen, and they're not connected. I mean, they are, and they're not. And it's not as if my life or your life, it's not as if our lives have this plot, you know? It's not like that. I mean, like some people say, we're born, we live, and then we die. Yeah, well, so fucking what? That doesn't say anything, does it?
Sam was looking at me.
You're studying me, Sammy. It's a little creepy.
You're funny, she said. This is just how I imagined you'd be when you were drunk.
That predictable, huh?
I downed my wine.
Well, you're predictable in some ways. But lately, not as predictable as you used to be.
I don't understand that fist thing you have going, Sally. I don't know where it comes from. You're not crazy or wild, but sometimes you are crazy and wild.
That's the greatest thing about you, Sally. You're you.
It's like sometimes you're this same old Sally, and then you get into these pensive moods, and you don't want to talk, and then all of a sudden you're mad at the world.
I get that. I'm mad at the world a lot.
But you weren't like that. And now, I don't know. I don't know either, Sam. I'm just confused. And everything seems complicated. Mima's sick, and I have this reminder of my mom in a letter that I don't want to read. And it haunts me, and it confuses me, because I want everything to be the way it was. And it can't be that way anymore. And your mom is dead, and that's so strange. And I don't know how you deal with it, and it's weird that we both have dead mothers, only you remember yours, and I don't remember mine, and I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say. So we're both mad at the world. That's okay. Is it, Sam? That's the way it is right now. I don't like it. It's okay, Sally. I don't feel okay. I feel like punching out the world. I do too. Only you're being very literal about that, and maybe that's not so okay. Where does it come from? You're gonna have to figure that out. How? You'll find a way.
Will I?
Yes.
You're so sure.
I know you. You'll find a way. And you still love me, even though I'm not that good boy you thought I was, the good boy you wanted me to be. I never wanted you to be anything, Sally. I've always just wanted you to be you. But I don't know who me is. Yes, you do. Deep down you do. Reach out and find him, Sally. It hurts. So what?
I'm not brave like you, Sammy.
Maybe you're braver than you think.
Maybe. I looked at the bottle of wine. I'm drunk. And I'm saying stupid things.
Then I smiled at Sam.
We might as well polish it off.
I don't know. I guess I felt like talking. So that's what I did. I just kept on talking. Sammy, remember when Marcos came over that day? I told you I saw a look on my father's face. I didn't understand that look, because I'd never seen it. Sam, it was love. You know, a different kind of love. I mean, I can see love on my dad's face when he looks at me, but this was different. I think that's exactly what I saw. Dad loves him.
Does that scare you?
A little bit. That's a lie. It scares me a lot. I mean, I've never really had to share him.
That's not true. You've always shared him with me. And you shared him with Mima, and with all your uncles and aunts.
Yeah, I guess so. I just want my dad to be happy. I do. And if Marcos makes him happy, I'm cool with that.
No. Maybe I'm not so cool with it. I'm not.
You jealous? I don't know. Maybe I am. And then, I mean, the guy hurt my dad. And if he ever hurt him again, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know, Sam.
I get that. I couldn't stand any of my mother's boyfriends.
Not any of them?
Nope.
Why?
Because I knew they were all going to hurt her. And they did.
And Marcos better not hurt your dad, because I'm going to go after him. And I got those fists of yours on my side.
So, we're a team.
Yeah, we are.
Me and you against the world?
Not exactly. We have your dad. And really, he's my dad, too.
Yeah.
So?
So? Then we got to laughing, and we just kept drinking wine and talking. And then the room started spinning, and there was this salty thing going on in my mouth, and the next thing I knew, I had my head in the toilet, spilling my guts out.
and Sam was standing over me and handing me a warm washcloth.
"You'll be okay," she said. "You're not an alcohol virgin anymore."
I felt terrible, and the room was still spinning, and all I could do was moan. And then I was throwing up again.
Dad, at the breakfast table. Me and Sam.
I'm wondering which one of you two geniuses thought this was a good idea.
Sam raised her hand, as if she were in a classroom.
My idea, Mr. V.
Wrong, I said. I thought, you know, it would be nice to have a glass of wine.
A glass would have been fine with me, but I'm looking at two dead soldiers on this kitchen table.
I guess we just got carried away.
Care to offer an explanation?
Well, we stayed home. We didn't drink and drive.
You don't get extra credit for that, and that doesn't qualify as an explanation.
You're talking like a dad.
I'm taking that as a compliment.
My father wasn't taking his eyes off me.
I'm waiting.
I don't have an explanation, Dad. We just, you know, we got a little crazy. Not everything has an explanation. Not everything I do makes sense. It was just one of those things.
Just one of those things, huh?
What do you want me to say, Dad? I feel like crap. Isn't that punishment enough?
Who said anything about punishment? All I'm asking for is a simple explanation.
And I'm telling you, I don't have one.
Dad looked at Sam, who was hanging her head as low as I was hanging mine.
Sam?
I guess I don't have an explanation either. Mr. V, I don't have an explanation.
I'm going to ask you two a question, and I want you to answer honestly.
Sam and I nodded. We just kept nodding very slowly. God, I thought my head was going to bust open.
Does this have anything to do with Marcos?
How do you mean, Dad?
Are you too upset because I went out with Marcos last night? Because if that's the case, if that upsets you, I don't have to see him. We can talk about...
Wrong, Dad! Wrong! I wasn't sure why I was yelling. Downing two bottles of wine last night was one of those stupid high school things that stupid high school kids do sometimes. That's all. Don't make it more than it is. And then I said something I had no idea I was going to say. And if I was upset about you and Marcos, you know what? You should be saying, then grow up, Salvi. Stop living your life around me, Dad. Just stop it. So there I was. Feeling really bad. I was covering my face with my hands. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. My dad had his hand on my shoulder.
Yes, you did,
he whispered. Dad, I'm going through some stuff.
What stuff?
Stuff, Dad. I can't talk about it right now. Stuff. Things are happening, and I can't control it.
Who says we're always in control?
I used to be in control of me.
Control can be a lie, son.
No one ever told me that. And I started to cry. My dad held me.
Let go, my Salvi. Just let go.
I did let go. I got drunk.
Try it without two bottles of wine.
Hangover. Yep. That Sunday morning, I ran into the word hangover. I didn't exactly want to be Hangover's friend.
Sam told me to drink lots and lots of water, which I did. I took a shower. All I wanted to do was sleep. I felt like crap. I mean, emotionally speaking, I felt really, really bad. Sam said it was called the walk of shame. Yeah, I said. It's the perfect name for what I feel. Well, I feel the same way. I really am ashamed of myself. I mean, your dad's like this great guy, and he's all about being good to me, and here I get drunk on his wine. Shit, Sally. I mean, on top of everything else, we stole his wine.
We're idiots.
Yeah, we are. And then, what I told him? I mean, I shouldn't have said what I said. I told him to stop living his life around me. But the thing is, maybe I've been living my life around him. It's like I've always wanted to please him and be a good boy and all that. And I... Hell, I mean, I don't want to disappoint him. Maybe the truth is that you've been living your lives around each other, and maybe you have to do something about that. Both of you. It's what we've done forever. He has to live his life. You have to live yours. Me and Sylvia, we had that down. Oh, God. What am I gonna do? Can we just pretend none of this happened? That's walk of shame talk, Sally. No pretending. Pretending equals no bueno.
Okay. No pretending. Shit.
So how many times have you been drunk, Sammy?
I don't know. Enough times, I guess. I don't know why I do it. I don't know why I experiment with mood-altering crap. I always wind up hating myself for it.
Walk of shame talk, I said. And then we both sort of laughed. Half-hearted laughter. Walk of shame laughter. Guess we weren't up to whistling in the dark. There were clouds floating in the autumn air. It wasn't really warm and it wasn't really cold. But the breeze was almost cold. Dad was sitting on the steps. He had a cigarette in his lips, but it wasn't lit. I had our baseball gloves.
Wanna play catch?
Sure, he said. So we started tossing the ball around.
I'm sorry I yelled at you, I said.
He smiled.
It's okay, Salvi, but let's make a deal.
Okay?
I think I need to give you some space, you know. Things are rough for you right now, and you're not used to rough. I think I spoiled you a bit too much.
Sure. That's why I'm driving my BMW sports car around town.
That's not what I meant. I just protected you. Maybe a little too much. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think so. You never wanted anything bad to happen to me. Maybe because I lost my mom?
I didn't want you to lose anything else. A little overprotective, I guess.
Just a little. I couldn't help but smile. I get that, Dad.
But we're okay, Salvi. Me and you.
We're okay?
Yeah, we're okay. And then he smiled. But I'm afraid you owe me for a couple of bottles of red wine.
I wanted to tell him that we'd figure out the Marcos thing. We'd figure it out.
I'd figure it out.
Mima. Cake.
Mima was a real talker. Loved to talk. But that Sunday when Sam and I handed her the cake, her face lit up and she hugged us. But she didn't talk much. She held my hand and she held Sam's hand and she held Dad's hand. But she didn't say much. Her eyes searched the quiet room, and I didn't know what she was looking for. She loved the flowers we gave her, and she asked me to put them on the kitchen table. Dad and Aunt Evie made a late lunch. Mima didn't eat much. But when it came to the cake, she ate two pieces.
Who made this cake?
Sam and I. We made it. Then she started talking a bit, but I knew it was taking some effort.
My mother used to bake bread every Saturday on a wood stove. And she knew how to make root beer. Did you know that? She used to make all my dresses. I have her sewing machine. I feel like seeing her again.
Her voice sounded strange and far away, as if she'd left the room. But then she took her fork, asked for a little more cake, dug in, and offered me a bite. She smiled. I smiled back. She fed me a bite of cake. And I remembered those days when I was a small boy. As we drove home in the dark, it started to rain.
It will be her last Thanksgiving.
Dad's voice was sad, but it was also a matter of fact.
Everyone will be here, he said.
I didn't feel anything. I didn't want to feel anything. I knew Sam was in her own corner of the world, thinking about her mother. When we got home, Dad went into his studio.
Think I'll work for a while.
The streets were wet, but it had stopped raining, and it was cool, but it wasn't cold. Sam and I decided to go for a run. I wondered if running in the dark was the same as whistling in the dark. I don't know if Sam was crying. She did that a lot. She cried when she ran. It was the grief thing. The my mother died thing. I don't know if she cried that night as we ran.
But I did.
Poetry.
Poetry?
The hangover was nothing more than a memory, and the sadness over Mima's visit seemed to have abated.
Abated. Another word Sam taught me.
Sam and I were walking to school, and I felt oddly normal, meaning I didn't have any feelings running through me. Maybe the weekend had tired me out. I was feeling okay. Like everything was okay, even though it wasn't. And I told Sam what Dad said about the wine. Too bad we're not old enough to buy Mr. V some nice wine.
Yeah, too bad.
Hey, she said, maybe we can get Marcos to take us wine shopping.
So you warming up to him, or what?
I'm just pragmatic. That guy should be good for something.
I smiled. Pragmatic. Remember you spelled that word in the spelling bee?
Why do you always have to remind me of that day?
Still mad. I still give that creep evil looks when I run into him at school.
You know how to hold a grudge, don't you? It's not always such a bad thing, you know. Keeps a lot of shitheads out of my life.
She gave me a look because I was laughing.
You're laughing at me? Really?
What if?
What if?
Where did our what if game come from?
I don't know. Maybe I just felt like playing.
It seems like we haven't played in a long time.
Yeah, it does seem that way, doesn't it?
What if? I said. What if?
Sam said.
What if I were a poet? And you were a poet, too.
If I were a poet, I would write a poem to...
She smiled. Okay, I need some time with this one.
I opened the front door to the school building. "By the end of the day, I'll have mine ready," she said.
"Me too," I said.
"And don't write it during math. You need to pay attention."
"Bye," I said.
"Bye,"
she said.
"Great day,"
I said.
"Great day,"
she said.
And then I saw Enrique Infante walking in the other direction.
"Faggot,"
he said.
I gave him a cheesy smile.
"You one I should bash your face in again?
Come at me, white boy."
I almost turned around and went for him, but I kept walking. We were on school grounds. I actually let a thought come between me and my fist reflex. During lunch, this is what I wrote in my notebook. If I were a poet, I would write a poem that would make people's tongues fall out every time they said the word faggot. I read what I'd written and was pretty proud of myself. But I knew Sam's was going to be really good, and I wanted to remain competitive. So I thought a minute, and then wrote, "If I were a poet, I would write a poem so beautiful and moving that it would cure cancer. And cancer would never enter another human being ever again. Not ever." And then I was into it. So I started to write another one. "If I were a poet, I would write a poem that would make my dad's heart smile. And he would never feel any sadness. And every day he would wake to the beauty of the day." After school, we met at Sam's locker.
"You look smug," she said.
"I don't do smug."
"Oh, yeah?
You're all about smug right now.
You think you wrote a really out-of-this-world cool poem, don't you?"
"Yep."
"Yeah, well, we'll see."
Then we cracked up laughing and decided to wait till we got home to read each other's poems. I guess they were poems. What the hell did I know about poems? The only poem I really liked was this poem called Autobiographia Literaria, by some guy named Frank O'Hara. I had it on my bulletin board at home. Sam liked to read it to me. Sam kicked me as I walked.
"Did you have a great day?"
"Yeah. We had a substitute in my English class. He didn't give a rat's tail about teaching, so Fito and I just texted each other."
"What were you texting?"
"Fito's situation at home seems to be getting worse." "Well, that's no bueno." "No bueno is right." And then this morning, my good friend Enrique Infante walked past me in the hallway and called me a faggot.
He's a sleaze bucket.
"Yep. I told him that maybe I'd bash his face in again."
"No bueno."
"No bueno is right. But it really pisses me off that he also called me a white boy."
"Uh-oh." Sam started laughing.
"You're supposed to be on my side.
But you are a white guy."
"Really? We're going to get into this discussion again?
Really?"
She messed up my hair and smiled.
"Just relax. No worries. Enrique will get his."
"Yep, that's what I think." I wondered if she was up to something. She had that look. When we got home, I gave Sam my poems. She gave me hers. This is what she wrote. "If I were a poet, I would write a poem that would make the oceans clean again. I would write a poem so pure that it would rain for days. And when the skies were clear again, a million stars would fill the summer night. I would write a poem to make the people see guns are guns and unworthy of our love. I would write a poem to make all the bullets disappear." I looked at her.
Wow. Mine are kind of stupid compared to yours. She smiled at me.
Stupid boy. You are incapable of stupidity.
She got up from the couch and took her poem and mine. I'm going to put them on the refrigerator, so your dad can read them.
Good girl, I said. He would like that.
Yep.
So Sam took off some of the postcards that were on the refrigerator and replaced them with our poems.
We got to get some new magnets.
Sam was starting to get all domestic on me. Who knew? Sam and I were studying in the living room. I looked up and saw my dad standing there.
So, how were my budding poets?
I kind of smiled at him. Sam's the better poet. My father had this incredible look on his face.
Sometimes I love you both so much that I can hardly bear it.
Then he turned around and walked toward the kitchen.
What do you want for dinner?
Tacos, I said.
Tacos it is.
I looked at Sam and saw tears running down her face.
What?
I said.
Your dad. He says things that make me cry.
Beautiful things, I said.
Yeah, beautiful.
How come more guys aren't like your dad?
I have no freaking idea.
And then I thought, because most guys are like my bio father. I had no idea where that thought came from. I didn't know a damn thing about my bio father. Dad, Marcos. I'd become a chronic eavesdropper. That's what I thought as I stood at the back door and watched my dad and Marcos having an argument in front of Dad's studio. My dad had this look on his face that said, I am half angry and half hurt. And then I heard him saying,
Marcos, you can't just walk back into my life as if nothing happened. You can't just disappear one day and reappear a few years later and expect me to...
And then he stopped mid-sentence.
I said I was sorry, Vicente.
Cheapest word in the dictionary.
I was scared.
I was scared too, Marcos. But I didn't walk away. You didn't see me running, did you?
Everybody deserves a second chance. Even me. We, Vicente, you and I.
We deserve a second chance.
I watched my dad. He didn't say anything. Marcos said,
I know how much I hurt you. Yes, you did hurt me. Vicente, not a day went by when I didn't think of you. It took you long enough.
I saw the tears on Marcos's face. Right then, I witnessed the world they lived in go completely silent. The world was flooding with their tears. Marcos slowly walked away and left through the side gate. I stepped away from the doorway and made my way back to my room. Dad, Marcos, me. As I sat in my room, part of me wanted to grab Marcos and punch his lights out, as if that would solve anything. Yeah, a big part of me wanted to hate him, for hurting my dad. But how could I hate him? I knew what I'd seen. Marcos, he loved my dad. I'd seen the look on Dad's face, too. He loved Marcos back. And I understood that the love they had wasn't easy. And maybe they wouldn't make it, you know? But they were trying, and I knew that. A part of me didn't want that to happen because, well, hell, it complicated everything. And everything was complicating everything, and, you know, I used to think Sam was the most illogical person in the universe. And now I thought I was. Me.
Me? Who?
Okay. Time to get down to writing my admissions letter. I made a list of things I should include that some bored person in the admissions office would read. 1. My father is gay.
No.
2. I am adopted.
No.
3. I used to know who I was, but now I don't.
No.
4. I'm nothing special.
No.
5. My best friend Samantha is brilliant, but I am not. No. 6. I got a letter from a dead mother, and man, how many boys applying to your school have that? No. 7. I am a natural-born boxer?
No.
8. My grandmother has taught me more than any teacher I've ever had in a classroom. No. This is not working. This is not working. WFTD equals fists.
Again?
So after school, we were walking home. That familiar walk that had always been so calm and uneventful. Walks that had been filled mostly with Sam's words and her curiosity about the world. And now, on many of our walks back home from school, Vito joined us. And it was good. Yeah. We were calmly walking back home from school. Sam and me and Vito. Sam and Vito were talking about The Grapes of Wrath. It was Vito's favorite book. A book I hadn't read. Vito said I had to put it on my list. And I thought, great, another list. And then, as we walked, we saw this group of guys that were taunting Angel, calling him faggot and queer and maricón. They were talking all kinds of shit, and they had him surrounded, and it looked like they were about to beat the holy crap out of him. I must have run toward them, though I don't remember running. All I remember is that I had this guy by the collar and was shoving him against a chain-link fence. I was right in his face, and I was telling him, I'm gonna kick your ass from here to Canada. And then I felt Sam's hand on my shoulder. She kept saying, let him go! Let him go! I slowly let go, and he and his friends took off. I was numbly staring into Sam's eyes. I looked over, and Vito said, I'm gonna walk Angel home. I nodded. Sam and I didn't say a word as we started back home. There were different kinds of silences between us. Sometimes the silences meant that we knew each other so well that we didn't need words. Sometimes the silences meant that we were mad at each other. And sometimes the silences meant that we didn't know each other at all. Sam. Grief. Sylvia. Mima. I was in bed, but I wasn't tired, and I wasn't sleepy. I kept turning the light off and on. I started reading The Grapes of Wrath, but put it down. It was too daunting and overwhelming. I turned off the light. I turned it on again. Sam texted me. You know there are 5 stages of grief?
Me.
Question mark?
Sam.
Yep. 5 stages.
Me.
Where do you get these things?
Sam.
Counselor at school.
Me.
You went? Sam. Last week? Been thinking.
Me.
Good for you. She walked into my room. She was wearing an extra-large El Paso Chihuahuas t-shirt that had an outline of the ears of a Chihuahua dog, and said, Fear the ears. Stupid. She loved that t-shirt. I was lying in bed.
5 stages, huh?
That's what the experts say.
So what?
You're in the anger phase.
What?
Mima's dying, and you're in the anger phase.
Well, you should know. You're the expert on phases.
She uncrossed her arms. She sat on my bed. Yep, you're definitely in the anger phase. Phase 1 equals denial, as in, this is not happening. I gave her my best fuck-off look, but I knew she wasn't going to stop. Are you listening, Sally Silva?
I have a choice here. I mean, you're totally colonizing my space.
Colonizing? Good one. She didn't skip a beat. Phase 2 equals anger. As in, I am so pissed off at God or at whomever because I am not happy that this is happening. That would be you right now?
No, I'm not.
Did you know that you were cussing as we were running?
Was I?
And lately you're quick on the draw. With your fists, I mean. She gave me a snarky look. I started to say something, but didn't. Yep. Phase 3 equals bargaining. Equals, in my case, if I am good for the rest of my life and never say the F word again, will you please bring my mother back? Or in your case, if I never have a bad thought about anyone ever again in my life, will you cure Mima of cancer? She smiled at me. I know what I'm talking about. I smiled back at her. There was a lot of snark in my smile. Phase 4 equals depression. Yeah. Well, depression. Anger turned inward. Yep. And finally, phase 5 equals acceptance. See? A fucking happy ending. The thing is, the phases, they come and go and appear in different orders.
For how long?
How the hell should I know? The only phase I've completed is the denial one. I aced that test. The other stages, they're all still clinging to me like bad boys who can't take no for an answer. And stage 5? Well, that's just a dream right now. Then she started crying. I know it's hard, Sally. But you're in your head a lot these days, and I miss you. You know the denial phase? That phase has a partner. Isolation, baby.
Isolation?
Yeah. As in, I don't feel like talking anymore.
Well, I don't feel like talking.
I'm trying to figure out if you're in the isolating phase or the depression phase. Because you can do 2 phases at once. But I never knew you to multitask. And then we both cracked up laughing. But we weren't really laughing. We were crying. And then I held her as she cried. I miss Sylvia, she whispered. I really miss her. Running. On empty. Fito. Sam woke me up early to go running.
Let's skip a day, I said.
Get your ass out of bed. Move it.
I want to do the isolation thing.
Up.
It's Saturday. Let me sleep.
You can never go back to sleep after you wake up, and you know it.
I hate you.
You'll get over it.
Some days getting up seemed like a bigger commitment than I was ready for. Get up and show up. That's what you had to do in life. Well, according to my dad. On the other hand, Uncle Mickey liked to say that everybody deserved a day off from the truth. So there I was, talking to myself as I put on my running shoes.
I told Sam we should change it up, so we decided to run to the Santa Fe Bridge. It was actually great running through the mostly empty streets of downtown El Paso. I liked that you could see and smell the border in the air, and on the streets, and in the talk of the few people we passed who spoke the special kind of language that wasn't really Spanish and wasn't really English. My dad said he moved back because he knew he belonged here. Here. I wondered if I would ever know that kind of certainty. Sam shouted at me as we ran.
Great idea, Sally. I love this route.
When we got to the bridge, we took a rest. And Sam said, we should run across the bridge and then just cross back. No quarters, I said. And no passport.
Crap. I hate that passport thing.
And she got that Sam look in her eyes.
Let's get passports.
I smiled. Yeah, we should have passports. And we took off running back home. We got into this race. I was a faster runner, but Sam held her own. If I slowed down just a little, she was right on my heels. And she was laughing, and I was laughing too. And it was hard to run and laugh and breathe. By the time we got to the library, we'd tired ourselves out, and we slowed to a jog. There were always homeless guys sleeping on the benches and stuff. We passed one of them, and I stopped and turned around.
What?
Sam said.
Isn't that Fito?
We walked up to the sleeping homeless guy who was not a sleeping homeless guy. It was Fito. I shook him by the shoulder.
Hey, I said. Fito.
He leaped up with his fists out. I jumped back.
Hey, it's okay. It's just me.
Fito got this really sad look on his face and slumped down and hung his head.
Sorry, he said.
What are you doing here, Fito?
What the shit does it look like I'm doing here, Sam? I'm sleeping.
We both eyed the backpack.
What's going on?
Fito just looked at us.
I'm handling it.
Sam took a seat next to him on the bench.
Right. Look, my mom threw me out of the house.
And then he explained the whole thing. How his mom was high when he got home late, and how she started in on him, and how she'd found his checkbook in one of his drawers and demanded that he give her all his money as rent.
You want to live here, you little shit? Start paying.
She had this demonic look on her face. And then she just starts hitting me and saying all sorts of shit and calling me a faggot. And I won't get into the descriptive parts that went along with faggot. And so I just packed my things and got the hell out. And as I'm walking out the door, she's in my face and telling me never to come back again. All kinds of shit like that. Well, here I am.
How come you didn't come to my house?
I asked.
Really, Sal? I was gonna do that?
No, man. I got my pride. He kept talking and saying that he'd find a way to get by, and that nothing was gonna stop him from going to college, and it made me feel like an idiot, because college was this gift I had, like a present under a Christmas tree, and I didn't want to open it. Sam and I sat there listening to him. As he was talking, Sam and I were thinking. Thinking and listening. And when he was done, he shrugged and said,
Well, there it all is. That's how my life rolls.
So I said, What are you gonna do, Fito?
Well, I've been saving my money to go to college, and I've been working two jobs, so I guess I'm gonna use that money to find me a place to live.
The thing about it is that I won't be 18 until December and shit, which is like less than 3 weeks away. And who the hell is gonna rent to a minor?
What? Like I'm gonna be on the streets for 3 weeks?